Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. This Thursday happens to be NFL draft day. First round tonight, 7 o'clock. I got an hour to get home and get in my chair and get ready to kick back and see how wrong Scott and I were on our picks day. We'll kind of go over some of our picks today. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, website 1700thechamp.com. Going to take just a second here to talk about our sponsors. We have Heritage Building Maintenance. We have Palmer Group. We have Des Moines Orthopedic, DMOS. We have Northwest Bank. We have Woodman Controls. We have BetMGM. All of those could not do this without them, and appreciate everything that they do. I'm just clicking here a couple of things that I want to talk about really quick. Sorry. Okay, so hope everybody had a good night last night. We, the fam, went over to my brother and sister-in-law's house. And, of course, my phones are still on here. Sorry. Apologize. Bad radio. I was, this has just been such a crazy day. All this stuff going on. Anyway, we went over to celebrate my niece. She had a birthday. So, Macy Lynn, 16. She got to drive around in her car last night. That was pretty cool. Even though I'm old, I still remember 40 years ago when, I got to drive my, car for the first time. Not the first time, because you could have a work permit. You could have a school permit. I was driving to and fro well before that. But still, it was fun. Got to see the boys. Got pretty much the whole family that's at least around here. So that was very exciting. No guests today. B Styles coming in tomorrow. Zach Steenblock coming in tomorrow. I have a couple more that just haven't decided on a time yet, and we'll do a lot of after the first round draft talk tomorrow. Here's a really funny thing about the draft. I got into a pretty deep discussion today with one of my coworkers about the draft. And teams, if you look at teams right now in the NFL, and if you give me just a second here, I'm going to pull up the NFL standings from last year. You have teams in the NFL. I think Buffalo's a good example. I think New England's a good example. Pittsburgh is a good example. I think Baltimore is a good example. Tennessee, Indianapolis, Kansas City to a certain extent. I think Green Bay and Minnesota do a really good job. I think Tampa Bay and New Orleans do a really good job. I think the Rams, the Cardinals, the 49ers, and the Seahawks all. These teams have been winning more games in the NFL than losing, because it's not always about hitting on a draft pick. This is a big draft. A lot of NFL football players are drafted in rounds 2 through 5. And it's how good of organization you have, how deep you can go, how many people that you have on your board, how many people are you comfortable with that you can win if you have to bring them in at that level. And, you know, this is a big deal. People look at this first round. And here's the most fun thing about the first round. I saw something today, and we'll go over it a little bit, on if teams would keep the same same picks as they did last year in the first round. I don't think teams are lauded and rewarded and talked about hitting good picks in the first round. I think all the talk is the teams that don't hit on the first round. And that is, and it is totally possible that happens. It is not, it's not easy. I mean, I get, you know, you understand when you start seeing some of this stuff, just how difficult. And I was just going to, let's go ahead and just look at this real quick. I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence, complete hit, horrible for the young man that he had to go through Urban Meyer. I don't feel that was good. The New York Jets, if they had to do it all over again, I do not think that they would take Zach Wilson. The San Francisco 49ers, I think, are perfectly happy with Trey Lance. I think if people would just leave him alone and not spend 90% of their time on social media ripping on Trey Lance, I think that the 49ers would already have him. I mean, I don't know why they're paying attention anyway. But I think the Atlanta Falcons are somewhat happy with Kyle Pitts. I don't think there's a pretty good chance that they'd take Ja'Marr Chase. I think that's the only thing that you would change, is they may take Ja'Marr Chase. Jaylen Waddle had a really good year too. I don't think they're changing for Jaylen Waddle. I think the Detroit Lions are perfectly happy with Penei Sewell. I think the Carolina Panthers think that J.C. Horn's going to be a really good player. I know the Broncos are happy about Surtain. I think the Eagles are happy with Devontae Smith. I think the Carolina Panthers, who took J.C. Horn, I think if they had to do it all over again, they'd have taken Justin Fields and said, you know what, he kind of fits what we want to do. I think I think the teams would redo that. Teams would also redo to get Micah Parsons that the Dallas Cowboys got. I mean, when you go back and look, I still think the top three, I think Atlanta would take Ja'Marr Chase. And then I think, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Lions, and the Panthers would probably all take Micah Parsons. What a great player he's been. Rashawn Slater, I think the Chargers are happy. Alaia Vera Tucker, I think the New York Jets, he's going to be, it's awfully high to take a guard, but I think he's going to be set. The New England Patriots are ecstatic that they got Mac Jones. And I think that's who the New York Jets would take if they had to do it all over again. I think they would take Mac Jones. Now, I'm thinking about this, right? So I'm thinking about those two squads and coaching staffs. And I'm thinking that doesn't mean that Mac Jones could have went to New York and had the success that he had in New England. New England's one of those teams that they can take a quarterback like that. Nobody's going to say anything to Bill Belichick. Even if they do say anything to Bill Belichick, he doesn't care. You know, the Arizona Cardinals taking Collins, you don't know. The Raiders did not. I mean, that's why you don't see the same regime in Las Vegas. I mean, they took Alex Leatherwood. Nobody thought, you know, he didn't play poorly, but he's not the 17th pick in the draft. Jalen Phillips for the Dolphins, Jamin Davis for the Washington football team, Kadarius Toney for the Giants. I mean, they're already trying to trade him. Kwity Paye from Indianapolis, you know, nothing to write home about. I mean, so once you get to like 22, Caleb Farley, Christian Darrisaw, the Pittsburgh Steelers are extremely happy with Najee Harris. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, Travis Etienne got hurt. I think he's going to be a huge help to Trevor Lawrence this year. Rashad Bateman for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, probably, I don't know. But who, I don't know. You know, keep going down. Where else do you see? Eric Stokes, Gregory Rousseau from the Bills played pretty well. Joe Tryon for the Buccaneers, no. The Ravens had Jason Owe from Penn State. You know, you look in the second round, you had Elijah Moore for the Jets, played pretty well. Javonte Williams from North Carolina for the Broncos played okay. Christian Barrymore for New England played really well. Tavon Jenkins played okay for the Bears. You know, just Asante Samuel for the Chargers, okay. Rondell Moore for the Cardinals until he got hurt. You know, not a lot of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah for the Browns, really good pickup. Injured, they took him. I think that was a hit. Nick Bolton for the Chiefs at 58, I think played well. Creed Humphrey played really well for the Chiefs. They got him at 63. So, I mean, you see some of this. Davis Mills from the Houston Texans, I think that's their future. He was at 67. I just think there's, you know, there's some players in this later rounds that were really, I thought, played really well. So, I mean, you had some misses. You're going to have misses this year. And I don't know how much time. You know, I think after the draft, I think teams sit down and they go over their draft stuff. You would think that they would go over everybody's draft stuff, especially leading up to this, a month ahead of time. Go through last year's draft and say, okay, how did we not see this guy? And we took this guy. And try to rework through your head, what were some of these other teams looking at? I don't know if they deep dive into that. I don't know if they have people that deep dive into that. But you would think that you would try to learn from other teams in how they do. I mean, the haves and the have-nots in the NFL are pretty big. I mean, here's the have-nots right now if you're looking for this year. The New York Jets were 4-13. The North Division, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, that's a crapshoot. That was 10-7 and 8-9 was 1-4. Tennessee, Indianapolis, Houston, and Jacksonville. Houston's a mess. Jacksonville's a mess unless maybe they have a good night tonight, and then we'll see. But I think Jacksonville's a mess. I don't think, you know, you're going through another regime change. I think Doug Peterson is huge. I just don't know how much they'll trust Doug Peterson to do. You have an owner that would love nothing more than to move this team overseas anyway, so I don't know. You have Kansas City, Las Vegas, the Chargers, and Denver, toughest division in football. It's a big night for all of these guys. It's a huge night for the Raiders. I don't even know how many picks they have. They haven't had a couple of – they didn't have great – Mike Mayock is a great talker of NFL football. I just don't know with the Davis clan and everything how much of a doer. I don't know how much he had control over. Dallas, Philadelphia, Washington, and New York. The New York Giants today said they're not picking up Daniel Jones's fifth-year option. They're not going to pay him $20 million. So the thought process now is, okay, unless he has a really good year this year, that they're looking. And next year, the quarterbacks, even though I think this year's quarterbacks are probably underrated, next year's quarterback class is a lot better. You're going to see a lot more. Washington football team, I want to see how Carson Wentz, I want to see how he can do. The simple fact that people want to say that Carson Wentz isn't a good quarterback, it's just not true. Philadelphia's in a make-or-break year for Jalen Hurts. You know, you are looking, you are looking for Jalen Hurts to step up, take this to a whole different level this coming year. With a whole offseason, a whole true offseason, I think he can do it. You have Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit. I'll tell this division right now, watch out for Detroit. I think they're up and coming. I think Green Bay has a two-year window, and then you're going to have fallout from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I know a lot of my family is Green Bay Packer fans, and I love Alan Lazard's there, so I'm in. But Aaron Rodgers, for everything that he's gotten you, he's probably cost you more than he's gotten you in wins. And, you know, I don't know. He rubs me the wrong way, and that's my fault, not his. I feel sorry for Justin Fields. I don't know how much. I think the new coaching will help. I just don't know how much and how quick. I'm sorry with Minnesota too for my Vikings fans out there. And this is the same way with the Tennessee Titans with Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins can only get you to a certain point. They can get you. I mean, Ryan Tannehill can get you to 13-4, but he's not going to win a big game if the team stops Derrick Henry. Kirk Cousins not going to win a big game. He's never shown that he's going to win a big game. But you continue. I mean, he's made more money as a quarterback than almost anybody in the NFL, and he hasn't won a big game. And you're stuck. You're in repeat. Repeat, repeat, repeat. So is Tennessee. Tennessee got lucky in the last few years that the Colts had injuries, have Andrew Luck decide he doesn't want to play football anymore because of injuries. And you have Houston and Jacksonville. Houston imploded, and Jacksonville's just been playing bad. Tennessee has been the team that is probably made the most out of being in the worst division with a quarterback that, if it's a big game, he's not winning. He's just not. He's proven that. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Plenty more to talk about. Be right back.
Sports. Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real Sports Talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thursday. Hope everybody had a great day. One more day. Friday is almost here. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 1700 The Champ AM, 101.3 FM. Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Website is 1700thechamp.com. I will get podcasts up tonight while I'm at home watching the draft. I'll get that done as quickly as I can. This segment will be brought to you by, let's just start right here since it's the first one that pulled up, Heritage Building Maintenance. They were founded in 2011. Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality health care, quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa and the Midwest. The health-centric part. We provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services throughout the Midwest by providing innovative building maintenance, janitorial products, and the way that we do our job. Our challenge is to always find healthier, more efficient ways to serve our clients through this constant discovery process. Our team helps you provide the highest quality, safest, and most healthy indoor environment possible. We believe the contract cleaning industry should provide the first line of defense and proper health care. We are the industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology. Heritage Building Maintenance is a certified partner of science-proven microbial control, provides an advanced level of janitorial and custodial services through data-driven research and development. Customers who participate in our science-proven microbial control program can rest assured they are receiving state-of-the-art surface protection, making their environments cleaner, safer, and more healthy for all their occupants. And when we're in the time that we're in, that's very important. If you would like to call Heritage, it's 515-868-0842, or you can go to BLDG.com. Wow, I need my computer screen to be much smaller than it already is. Wow. So I want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of our program. Okay, so just to continue on, we were taking a look. I actually think the Washington Commanders are going to have a better year. I think Philadelphia is going to have a better year. I think there's a chance Dallas may not play as well. And I think the Giants, once again, not not setting, you know, not giving Daniel Jones his fifth year option. They just went through another regime change. I love who they have there now. It's kind of a start over, a reboot, and you hope for the fans that the reboot helps. Brian Daboll is a great coach. I love him. He doesn't have any Jason Allen's there. So Josh Allen's there. So it's going to be very interesting. Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, Detroit. I think it's going to be a mix and match again. I think Detroit's a much better team than it was last year, especially with what they can do over the next 3 days. It's going to be very interesting. Tampa Bay right now I think is still above all the rest. I think Atlanta may actually take another step back. I don't think Carolina has any idea. And here's my thought on Carolina. I'm a huge Matt Rhule fan. I would have said 2 years ago when he was hired that, I mean, anybody that can go into Baylor and turn a football programmer and then he leaves and they're still doing well and he comes to Carolina, it's a different thing, folks. There's guys that are built to coach in the NFL and there's guys that are built to coach in college. I just hope that Matt Rhule coaching in the NFL hasn't, you know, if he wants to go back to college, I hope people don't hold him accountable for, you know, that has to be the biggest thing for college coaches to go to the NFL. College coaches, if you haven't, in some of our breaks, if you hadn't heard the things that Nick Saban says or the things that some of these other coaches say, college football coaches have control of everything, everything. NFL coaches don't. College coaches, the coaches are the ones that make all the money. They make all the decisions. They have all the playing time. They do. They have everything. So they are in control. In the NFL, players make more money. Players make more money than the coaches do. Players make close money to what the owners do. It's a totally different thing. So extremely. The LA Rams, Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle. Seattle and San Francisco. I think San Francisco knows who their quarterback is. I think Kyle Shanahan's, I know who my quarterback is. I just don't know, having Jimmy Garoppolo being on the sidelines with him, I think I can win with Trey Lance. I can do so much more with Trey Lance than I can with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't think he has any idea how to make that change without losing half the team or the fan. I don't know what he does. I think Seattle's going to find out really quickly that that it was more of a Russell Wilson-led team than it was a Pete Carroll-led team. That's going to be vastly interesting. And here's my thing with the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals have been a lackluster program for quite some time. They bring in a coach that nobody else was going to bring in to be a head coach. Coached in college, didn't win a lot. I think he had Pat Mahomes, didn't win a lot. And they have a GM as well, and they're happy with both of them and just gave both of them contract extensions. I'm sorry, folks. The only reason that the Arizona Cardinals are relevant or have won football games is Kyler Murray. It is pretty obvious when you watch them. They play well when he's healthy and he has healthy people to throw to. When they don't, their coaching staff isn't bringing them through. Their organization's not bringing them through. So I think this is a San Francisco, you know, it's a tough thing for San Francisco. Feel sorry for Jeremy, big San Francisco 49er fan. I don't think they have a game plan. I think the game plan is, hey, I really think I can do great things with Trey Lance, but how can I convince the football team of that? Because I think the football team wants Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think Shanahan wants Trey Lance because he can, I mean, it just opens up his playbook. And while they're doing all that, Sean McVay is saying, hey, I still have an owner that's spending money, and I still have all my pieces. And I have Matthew Stafford, and you all don't. And they're just – I have Matthew Stafford, and I have Aaron Donald. I have the best player in this division on offense, and I have the best player on defense. What are you going to do about it? And I don't think there's anything they can do. So tonight when you talk of the draft, because we all want these guys to do a great job, and Scott took time to do this today. And I love my brother, right? And I'm looking at some of these picks, and I'm like, okay, this was a collaborative effort from somebody. Sweet Chuck. Mine, on the other hand, is just my mind. So we'll see. We'll see if we have ones that are the same, ones that are different, and then go over that next week when Scott comes back into the program. It'll be very interesting to see what happens tonight, because you have teams you trust, right? You have teams that you trust to make the picks. When you're trying to make picks for a contest like this, you're like, well, that's reasonable. I can talk myself into doing this. I don't know if the Detroit Lions can. I don't know if the Texans can talk themselves into things. Who knows what the Jets can talk themselves into? Do you really trust some of these to make the right choices? You know you're going to have. I'm going to do the over under on 3.5 of ones that make picks tonight that everybody just goes, what? Where? When? You're kidding me. That's going to be the sound bites that you're going to hear. And that's not the sound bites that people want to hear when you're going into this. So in the next little bit, we'll start going through some of these. We'll go through them slowly. We didn't get to talk about this much yesterday. If you listen to baseball players, baseball has a baseball problem, not baseball as the whole, but the baseball. Pitchers are saying that the baseball feels different. I don't know how many baseballs that they run through in a game, but they say by the first, second, you get to the third inning, or even starting the second inning, the old balls you're using aren't the same. They don't feel the same. They don't react the same. Walks are up, strikeouts are up, runs are completely down, hitting is completely down. I don't think baseball understands. Now, you have some baseball purists out there, and I stick one toe in one side and one toe in the other side. I love a defensive battle, a defensive pitching battle. I also don't mind watching 10-9 games if there's not a bunch of errors. The league is so pitch-driven, pitcher-driven. And it's all of our leagues have these issues about equipment, umpiring, refereeing, and what's best. And they're trying to figure out, and the group, the figureheads, the engine. They're like, okay, well, that was really fun, but you know, some people, you know, they don't like having 4-hour games, or you know, sometimes they don't like high scoring games, but they don't like 0-0 games. Well, first off, you have so many things that you can take care of, it's all going to start happening. They're doing this in the minor leagues. Minor leagues having a 20 second or like a 15 second to 20 second pitch clock, hitter clock is taking a half hour out of games. Perfect. Need it. I don't think you need a live baseball, but you don't need a dead baseball, and you don't need a baseball that these guys, and you know, they say, well, Garrett Cole can't pitch anymore because he can't use spider tack. Well, now you have a whole bunch of pitchers saying it doesn't matter if you have spider tack or you don't, you can't grip these baseballs. Okay, I don't know about the rest of you, and I don't know what hitters think, but I don't want pitchers not knowing if they can grip a baseball and throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, not knowing where it's going to go. I mean, baseball is baseball's worst enemy. It's by far, I understand people love football. Baseball is such a great game. It's such a great game to watch, but it's not a great game to watch if your strike zone's not right, or an umpire's not right, or hitters take too long, or you're changing, you're bringing a new pitcher in and bringing a new outfielder in, and we don't want 4-hour games. 2 hours, 45 minutes, 2 hours, or 3 hours, perfect. In, out, don't let them stand up there and check everything after every pitch. Just play ball. Play ball the way that we like to go watch our 10-year-olds play. If you want to know how baseball should be played, I'm not saying it should be played at a 10-year-old level, but it should be played at a 10-year-old level of excitement and their excitement of playing. I don't see baseball players in today's game, very many of them, excited. And the ones who are excited and show their exuberance and their excitement get poo-pooed by everybody anyway. So it's just a horrible thing all the way around. But they think the baseball is the problem, and they're trying to figure out what to do about it. We have so many things, because I really want to get into it was really amazing today that New York Giants didn't pick up Daniel Jones's option. That kind of sent everything into a really not a panic mode, but just trying to figure out what you can do. They're trying to figure out how they can keep the NFL on top. You know, going to 18 games, was that a good thing, a bad thing? I don't know. Anybody knows. I saw two very interesting stats today, and I got a couple of seconds, and I'll try to get them out. Most sacks in the NFL the last five seasons, Pittsburgh, all five of them. 55, 56, 54, 52, 56, zero playoff wins. Highest scoring drive percentage since 2020. KC, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, LA. Okay, so here's what you can take from those two numbers. It doesn't matter how many sacks you get if you don't have a good offense. And if your offense can't score, you can't win a Super Bowl or play in the Super Bowl. Because you take those teams away, Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and LA, you're talking the five best teams in the league are the teams that have the highest percentage of drives end up in a score. There's always something there. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM.
The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thursday. Hope everybody had a great day. Please drive home safely. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here in the studio. 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. The website, 1700thechamp.com. This segment is going to be brought to you by Northwest Bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Brand new location up in Ames. Still haven't gotten up to Ames yet to see it. I've seen pictures of it. I want to go see it. They have many locations across the state. Three in Omaha as well. Commitment you can bank on. Remember that. That's our tagline. Commitment you can bank on. That means when you go in, tell them Steen sent you, open up an account, take a step back and say, okay, banks scare me. I don't know what to do. Well, they do. And just look at that And remember, walking in, commitment you can bank on. They're going to help you with your personal, if you have business, if you have mortgage that you need, agriculture, private banking, wealth management, insurance. They're there to help you. They want you to enjoy coming into the bank. The biggest thing you should have to worry about is, do you want a cup of coffee? You don't want a cup of coffee. How many people do you want to talk to? Or do you just want to keep your head down and just do your thing? That's the only thing that you should be worrying about. All the rest of it, you should know that they're going to take care of you. No matter what you're doing, you could be applying for a vehicle. You can do that online. You can do it there. You can schedule appointments. They'll give you a time. They'll spend as much time as that you need. You could do all your banking and never one time, well, maybe once, have to go into Northwest Bank. I hope you do, because you need to get to know the people that are there. I think that's the part of banking that we miss the most. You need to know the people that you're banking with. They're there. Sharon Lizak is there. She's a private banking manager. Ashley Rottenhouse is there. She's a private banker. Dana Christensen is there. Gabrielle Short is there. She's a business banking assistant. She's going to help you. They're all going to help you. They have convenient banking services. They have debit and ATM cards. They'll meet all of your needs. Commitment you can bank on. That's what you need to remember. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay, a couple of quick things. Iowa Hawkeye women today picked up a transfer. Molly Davis averaged 18.6 points, 3.8 rebounds, 4.7 assists, shot 40% from three. She played for Central Michigan. I do believe that Central Michigan might have... I was trying to think. I'm looking here. I'm trying to see who their wins were against. They beat Valpo. They did play a bunch of Big Ten teams, which is quite interesting. Just another score. So that's what... That's exactly what they need. They just need bodies the Iowa Hawkeyes and Iowa State both play at a pace that it's hard to have six or seven people. You need 8, 9, and 10. 18 points a game, man. Come on. That's a great get for the university. Molly Davis, welcome to the Iowa Hawkeyes. I thought that was a pretty big deal. Right before we went to break, I'm going to give this to you one more time. Highest scoring drive percentages since 2020. So they get the ball on offense, and at the lowest is at the highest is 48%. At the lowest, it's 44%. Here's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that have the highest percentage. Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, LA. All playoff teams. Really good teams. Okay, so that's just your first thing, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers. The other thing I heard people say the other day, you have to have a good quarterback, you have to be able to get after the quarterback. Most sacks in the NFL in the last 5 seasons, Pittsburgh, all 5 seasons. So they can get after the quarterback. They just didn't have a quarterback. And as much as I want to say, because I sit in here and I say this to Scott all the time. Okay. I'm even good with you hiring a defensive coordinator or a defensive-minded coach. As long as he's not cumbersome to the fact of having an offensive coach and having an offensive scheme. You can't win in this league by just playing defense. There's never going to be the Chicago Bears again, where teams didn't even want to play them. They didn't even want to step on the field. Now, the only reason those games were even close is because Chicago's offense was brutal. You have to be able to move the ball and score. And teams that can't do that, Bill Belichick knew, okay, I'm losing Tom Brady. I'm bringing in a rookie. I'm not going to be able to score. I don't know what I'm going to do. They still didn't have a bad year, but they couldn't be in games that they couldn't keep the score down. And you can't – now, last year they spent a lot of dollars on defense. You can't win in this league if you're spending more money on defense than you are on offense. Not the way the rules are written. Now, maybe the rules change in a couple of years. But right now, if you don't have an offensive-minded coach and you don't have a quarterback and you don't have people to throw to, that's like, well, how come so many receivers are getting drafted in the first round? They never used to be, because that's how important they are. That's how come they're getting paid $30 million. If you don't have a good wide receiver, a good tight end, it makes it difficult. Now, they're saying that running backs are a dime a dozen. That's not true. Good running backs who, when given the ball, can gain yards, not lose yards, can catch the ball out of the backfield. And the most important thing, even on first and second downs when they're in, is pick up blitz coverage is the most important thing for running backs. Do they have the same special meaning they had 10 years ago? Absolutely not. Are they going to be anywhere near the highest paid players in football anymore? No, they're not. Highest paid football players are going to go to people that sack the quarterback, wide receivers, tight ends, and cornerbacks. That's who's going to get paid until they change the game again or until the game changes. It's not good enough anymore that the only thing that you can do is play left tackle. The great teams, when having offensive line problems, i.e. the Kansas City Chiefs, they move people around all year. Oh my God, he was playing left tackle the other day and he's playing right guard today. If you have a team that can do that, you're going to be fine. And here's the crutch for the quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback that can run and get you first downs, he's not a quarterback that's going to help you. If he can't avoid pressure by maneuvering around, you're not going to win. If he doesn't have a mind that can look downfield and decipher things on his own, you can't scheme everything. There's some guys that are unbelievable in scheming. McVay, Shanahan, Green Bay Packer guy just totally just went right out of my head. These guys can scheme people open. You have to have people that can get open as well. Tight end position's important. Teams use tight ends differently. Rob Gronkowski's a great blocker and a clutch pass catcher. Travis Kelce is an okay blocker, an amazing route runner, amazing touchdown scorer, and that's kind of the way of the tight ends. If you have a tight end and all he does is block, you're wasting a bunch of money. And you have to have a left tackle or a left-handed guy. You have to have a right tackle that can protect your quarterback. All that stuff. Just think about everything we just did there for 7 minutes. And now you have to draft to try to fit into that great big circle. That's why this is so difficult and why sometimes it doesn't work. You're listening to Steen on Sports. I'll be back right after the top of the hour break.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 7.